Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Tuesday, April 26th, 2022. This is edition number 160 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are working our way through the Shorter Catechism. We come to question number 104 together this morning. Let's pray first and then we'll look at this question and answer together. Father, as we now come to these matters, we come to your word, we would ask again that you would give us the grace that we need to understand these things. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, that it is able to discern the motives and intentions of our hearts. And thank you that it guides us and directs us. It does not leave us in darkness, but it casts a light upon our path that we might know how to live before you. We pray that your spirit would attend to these things as we seek to understand, that you would forgive us for our sins and you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be gracious to us now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, Shorter Catechism question number 104 takes up matters related to the fourth petition that is highlighted within the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And so it asks, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. Now, what's important to note immediately here is that we are asking God to provide for our daily needs, which simply states, whether we really understand what we are saying or not when we pray this prayer, is that we recognize that we are dependent creatures. All prayer is an expression of dependence upon the God of heaven. But this one, of course, highlights our dependence upon him to provide for us the things that we stand in need of each day to sustain the needs of the body and to live in this world. But not only that, it also recognizes that even the good things that come to us, the things that we don't necessarily need but God is pleased to give to us, come from his hand. For instance, I have two cars. I guess it could be argued that I really don't need two cars, but I do have two cars. God has been kind to give us two vehicles, one for my wife and one for me, and it makes life a lot easier. It's a little more enjoyable. But of course, it could be argued that that's not necessarily a need, that we could live with just one vehicle if necessary. Other people can point to many different things in their lives that, you know, they open the refrigerator and there's an abundance of food, more food than you could possibly eat, and that, of course, came from the hand of God. You live in a home that's bigger than you probably need. Well, that's a blessing of God. He gives it to you, that you might use it to his glory. And so we recognize as we pray this day, give us this day our daily bread, we are recognizing that all good things, everything that comes from, that we have in this life, it comes from the hand of our loving Father. And so we acknowledge that. Whether we understand that or not, we are acknowledging this simple truth. There's a number of scripture proofs to hear to support this and to meditate more so on when it comes to asking God for these things. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Now here, it's highlighting, the writer here is simply asking, it's the words of Agar, but he's simply asking for a competent portion of the good things of this life. Not more, not an overabundance of wealth or blessing, for fear that he may put his trust in them, that he might lean upon them more so than he leans upon the one who gave them to him. But he's also asking for the things that are needful so that he might not be forced to steal as one who might be impoverished. Now, he's simply not advocating stealing here. He's not advocating profaning the name of God if one is poor, but he is simply recognizing that there are things necessary to live in this world, and our daily bread and the things that are needful are one of those things. But of course, we want to recognize that these are not the things that we should focus our whole heart and mind and attention upon as we live in this world. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34. There, Jesus is teaching on the issue of anxiety. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in you, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So here we note that our Father in heaven is mindful of the things that we have need of. He knows what we need each and every day. He knows the things that are necessary to sustain us and to keep us alive. He's the one who clothes us. He's the one who feeds us. He's the one who provides for us. And so we don't need to be anxious about these things. We pray and ask our loving Father in heaven for the things needful, and he is pleased to give them to us. And Jesus illustrates this with the birds of the air, how our God in heaven feeds them. And so if he's so mindful of the birds, how much more will he be mindful of you, his redeemed people? And so we ask. We're not anxious. We don't worry. But instead, as Jesus points out, we put energy and labor into seeking first the mandates of the kingdom of God. In other words, we're not out of balance in our Christian experience. We have our priorities straight. We desire and want God's kingdom more than anything else. And of course, at the same time, we would like to see a competent portion of the good things of this life come to us and enjoy God's blessing with them. We are, of course, as God gives us these blessings, we are to live contented with whatever God is pleased to give. God has not been pleased to grant me $1 billion. I don't have $1 billion. I doubt I ever will. But I have not been blessed with that, and I should be content with the fact that God in his providence, God in his wisdom, has determined not to make me filthy rich in that way for his purposes and his reasons, and I am to be content with those situations. God has not been pleased to give me a very expensive, luxurious car, as much as I might like one, maybe, but the point is, he has not done that, and so I am to be content with the things that he has given to me, and I should be thankful for it. Because the fact of the matter is, friends, we deserve no good thing from God. Everything that we have is a blessing from his hand. And some have more, some have less, and that's why we are not to covet one another's material possessions. We are to rest with contentment in the God of heaven who provides for us. And the Apostle Paul teaches us this in Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I am in speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And then jumping down to verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so we have that confidence that our God will supply our needs. Now, in our day and age, the line between needs and wants is often very difficult to find. Now, the Apostle Paul says, if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. He doesn't even mention a home. But be that as it may, there are things that are needful in life. There are things that are desirous in life. And we need to ascertain what those things are. But I can tell you with every confidence that the things that you do have right now came from a loving God who blessed you with them. And so you should be living a life of contentment with it, not clamoring for more. Be thankful for what he's given to you and show that thanks by expressing it to him. But as we ask for things, as we ask for our daily bread and the things needful, we live contented with the answer that God provides. And then, of course, Paul touches on this as he's giving instructions to his young pastor friend. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. There we read, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. And so we rest in those things. We recognize that these riches of this life will pass away. They're not going with us. We are not taking them to glory. We have them now that we might enjoy the good things of this life, as the Catechism tells us. We thank our God for that. We live contented with it. And we trust that God is going to wisely give to us the things that we need. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you, and I hope they help aid in your time of prayer before the God of heaven. I would encourage you to not only read the shorter catechism and meditate on the scripture proofs that are therein. on these matters, but also look at the larger catechism that amplifies this even more so. But as you do, may the Lord help you. If you'd like to contact me, you can reach out to me. The way to do that is there before you on the screen. And so until Wednesday, when we take up question 105 of the Shorter Catechism, may the Lord bless you and keep you this day. May you strive to do His will in all things. God bless.